Good morning. Thank you for listening to Step Connections Podcast. Our podcasts are all based around the central theme of what it takes to be successful. Today, we have the honor of speaking with Ms. McGuire, who is a human resources representative. Thank you, Ms. McGuire, for taking time out of your busy schedule to speak with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Now, our first question will be brought to us by Megan.
Can you please explain your occupation to us?
Sure. I'm an HR business partner at the Hartford Insurance Company in Hartford. And my role is to work with the senior business leaders of the different lines of business that we have. We have a small commercial insurance that's insurance for small business owners. And then we have personal lines insurance, and that's for people like you and me that need home insurance and car insurance. And then we have a couple other divisions as well. We have an investment management decision, and a division rather. And so my job is to work with the presidents of those business units to help them think about what their organizational structure should look like and what their talent strategy should look like, therefore. So they have certain goals that they need to meet from a business perspective, and I work with them to talk through, well, how are you going to staff your group, and what kind of skills do you need, and how are you going to make sure that your folks have the capabilities to help you reach the goals of your business unit, and then how should your group be structured to optimize that that success.
Now we will move on to some questions about your childhood. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Mansfield, Massachusetts, right next to Foxborough Stadium, Gillette Stadium now, so one town over. And then I went to college in New York and then moved back here. It was kind of the halfway point.
What was your childhood like?
It was fun. I had two younger brothers. One of them was handicapped. He has muscular dystrophy. So he was in a wheelchair. So me and my other brother would play, you know, different games and stuff. And my other brother in the wheelchair would be like the goalie if we were playing hockey, or he'd referee if we were doing other games and stuff. So it was fun. But, you know, like everybody, little brothers can be annoying. So I had some of that as well.
Who was your biggest inspiration while you were growing up?
Good question. I think I always appreciated some of the, like, founding fathers, so John Adams and Ben Franklin, and I just thought that the persistence that they had and their ability to, you know, just push past some of the difficulties that they were having and really just stick to their guns and you know, forge forward. I was always really impressed with their tenacity.
As a kid, what did you want to do when you were older?
I wanted to be a doctor.
Why
did I want to be a doctor? Either a doctor or I wanted to be a child psychologist for a while because I wanted to, I just wanted to help people. I wanted to, at first it was sort of around helping helping people feel better, and then it started to move more as I grew older towards kids and trying to help kids with any difficulties that they were having in growing up.
Did you have a close relationship with your
I did, yeah. My mom and dad were divorced when I was like 7, but really close relationship with both of them. My mom was a really hard worker. She was a librarian. She also worked in the police department in Foxborough at the, you know, the stadium. So she worked really hard, and you know, having a handicapped son and 3 kids to raise was difficult, and so she inspired me a lot as well to just, you know, work hard and do what you can to make sure you're taking care of your kids. And then my dad was a manager at a electronics company, and we saw him every weekend, and he was, you know, he was great. He really stayed close to the family, and he pushed us hard. I think that's where I get my push on grades all the time for my kids, but he was a great dad.
Now we'll talk about your education and early career.
Okay.
Did you enjoy school when you were younger?
I did. I especially liked math and science.
Where did you attend high school?
I went to high school in Mansfield, Massachusetts, at Mansfield High School.
Where did you attend college?
I went to Hofstra University in New York, so that's where I made the move from Massachusetts to New York.
What did you major in?
I majored in, because I was going to be a doctor, I started out majoring in biology, which I was really good at. And I remember the teacher saying I could be a surgeon because I dissected an earthworm really well and didn't really, like, mess up any of their internal organs. So I could have done that. But then at some point I changed. I had a work-study program where I worked with the dean of the City University of New York. And she ran the adult education program at the college. And she kind of convinced me that industrial psychology or personnel management was an exciting career. So she started inviting me to some of the different events that she had at the City University. And I really got interested in that. And so I switched over to psychology with a minor in business.
What was your first job out of college?
My first job out of college, I worked for Nikon Camera. You guys know Nikon cameras?
Okay. Wow.
Yep. So I worked for Nikon. I actually wrote their affirmative action program. Do you guys know what that is? So it's a program that makes sure that women and people of color are represented in the workplace as much as white men. And so that's one of the things that we do in HR is make sure that we have diversity in all of our different roles in the companies that I've worked at. So that was my first job, was to write this report that has to get filed with the government that shows that we are trying to make sure we're hiring more women and diverse people.
Now we will be discussing your current career. Did you always want to work in this field?
In insurance? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Insurance is a big deal in Connecticut, right? And so most of the companies, when you work in human resources, most of the human resources jobs are in their corporate offices. And most of the corporate type offices we have here in Connecticut are insurance companies. And so when I moved to Connecticut, I worked for Aetna, the health insurance company, and then I switched over to the Hartford. So, insurance was not my favorite thing on the planet. I never imagined that I would work in insurance. But frankly, I've also gotten to work on the risk side, where with a lot of really smart people who calculate what some of the risks are of catastrophes happening, hurricanes and tornadoes and stuff like that. And really, that's one of the benefits of my job, is I get to really get into the business side of the work. And in the last 5 years, I worked on the investment management side. So I worked with all of the portfolio managers and stock traders. And you guys did a stock game, right? Mm. So I worked with all the guys who really do what you guys did during that activity. And it was really fun. So I think I like that side of the business better. But it's what's good about my role is I get to move around to different parts of the company. So when I first got there, I worked with the actuaries. And now I'm working with a group that's doing artificial intelligence and robotics. So they're figuring out ways to take repeatable processes and processes that happen a lot, but that don't really require a lot of thought. And they're getting, we're putting robots in place. And working with IBM Watson to program some models that will do some of that work for us. So that's really exciting. So it's nice that I get to go around and see different parts of the company.
Did anyone inspire you to choose this job?
So I would say two people. One is the dean of the adult education group at Hofstra University, and she was the dean at City University in New York, and she really inspired me into this type of work because it was analytical, but it also had the human element to it, and also some strategy around it, thinking about what the workforce was going to look like in the future. Especially now I'm doing a lot of that with the robotics and analytics and how our jobs are going to change as a result of them. So she was one for sure. And then the other, when I first started, when I was at one of the jobs that I had for that I kind of grew up in HR in was at a company named Arrow Electronics. And they have an office here in Connecticut. They actually helped me move up here. And so I had a boss there who, you find this funny, I had a boss there who I just thought was great. She had a very down-to-earth approach to human resource. She wasn't like, I'm the police and these are the rules and all that, right? So she had up in her office a poster with, you know, that that book called Anything I Ever Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten? So there's a book called that. And it's things like, you know, play nice in the sandbox and clean up after yourself and all that stuff. And she had that in her office because a lot of times when you're in HR, you're dealing with people issues and people not getting along or doing things they shouldn't be doing. And so she would just kind of point to that as, you know, it's not rocket science. It's just, you know, common sense. Yeah. So I really appreciated her sort of empathy side of things. So between the two of them, I thought it would be a really interesting career being able to do some more strategic and analytical stuff and also the human side.
What is a typical day for you?
A typical day, meetings, tons of meetings. I tend to meet, so I have a client, a business group that I work with. And so I meet with the president of the business group a couple times a month. And then I meet with her direct reports. And we just talk about what's going on in their business unit. And we do things like talent development. So we'll sit down and take all of their staff and kind of plot them on where they are from a performance perspective and what kind of potential they have for the future. And we talk about, well, what are the areas that they need to develop in to reach their career goals? And how do we, you know, how do we help them get there? So right now I'm working on a talent review where we're going to sit down with all of the senior leaders, the direct reports to the president, and we're going to talk through all of the talent at the manager and director level so we can make sure that we have a succession plan. You guys know what a succession plan is?
Something happens, this will happen. Kind of like
exactly. That. So, for example, about 4 or 5 years ago, our CEO passed away, unfortunately. And so my boss, as the chief head of human resources, her role was to make sure that there was a successor to jump right into his role if anything happened to him. And so she had that all set up and ready to go so it didn't cause a problem with our shareholders or Wall Street. Everybody knew who he was, and he was already working on his development plan to take over that role. So it was a very seamless transition, which is really important when you are a public company and you report into the board of directors and the stockholders. You have to make sure that you've got succession. So what I do is work with the next level down to make sure that I've got people in place to replace the president of the business unit and then all her senior leader staff. And if we don't, we identify people at the next level down who could be successors for them someday, and then we really work hard to make sure we have a very targeted development plan. So if they need to work on their delegation, so they don't delegate enough work, they do it all themselves, we'll work with them really hard to make sure that they're practicing that skill.
It's kind of like the U.S. government, right? You have the president, the vice president, you know, the speaker of the house, et cetera. So that everyone has, like, something happens to the president, the vice president kicks in, something happens to the vice president, and then you move down the road. And that's pretty impressive for a company that they think about these things, but it obviously happens. So.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, and once a year we have to go into the CEO and tell him what our succession planning is for the president of our business unit and for the direct reports below that. So we're constantly looking at people and thinking about, well, what do they want to do for a career and what do we think they can do and what are the skill gaps that they have to get them to that level, and then really pinpoint one or two development activities every year to get them there. So either, you know, they'll fill in for somebody who's out on maternity leave, another leader, to get some skill and experience doing that, or we'll sometimes we send them off to training. But training's not the only thing. Training, you kind of go once and then it's done. And so you try to find activities. We try to find on-the-job activities and some hands-on stuff that they can do as well, projects and that.
So I have a quick question. So there's a lot of opportunities for growth. Like, for example, if you come in as a beginner, mm-hmm. like into the insurance field,
yep.
I mean, there's obviously tons of different levels that you can, there's opportunities for in at the Hartford.
Yep.
That's awesome. Do you have, let's say, employees that work with you that have started from the entry level who are pretty much the highest level at this
point? I do. Yeah, I work with a senior leader right now. Who is a direct report to the president, and he runs all of our call centers. So in the small commercial business, we have about 400 people who handle literally thousands of calls a day. Mm-hmm. And he came right from that job. So that's an entry-level job. That's a job that you can apply for with no skill, no background. We put you through a whole training, and you basically answer customers' calls. And it could be anything from adding another person to the policy, or if you're a small business owner, you have to pay what they call workers' comp insurance if someone gets hurt. So that's the biggest thing that we do. And so if your payroll changes, say you started a new business and you hired 10 people, and now you've grown your business and you have to hire 10 more people, you have to call us and say, hey, I've got more people that I'm covering under workers' comp, and so then we raise the price on them. So those are the people that take those calls are called customer relationship specialists. And so this one gentleman that I work with started out on the personal line side answering phones, and now he runs a group that's 400 people big.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Does this job ever stress you out?
Yes. Yeah. I think all jobs stress you out. I don't think it's there, you know, I corner the market on that. I think all, you know, everybody, firefighters and, you know, everybody has stress in their jobs. I think that the best way to handle it is take things like a little bit at a time. So even with developing people, I can have somebody who I'll sit down and say, hey, we really think you could be a vice president someday, but there's these five things that you need to do in order to get there. That seems overwhelming, and that can stress somebody out. And so what I usually try to help them do, and what I do in my own job, is to break it down into just one thing. Like, what's one thing that I can do to help me across all these competencies? And I just focus on that one thing and work on it until I get it done, and then I can move on to the next. So I think the more stress you have, the more important it is to break things down into small pieces and just tackle them one at a time so it doesn't become overwhelming.
Do you see yourself doing this career for the rest of your life?
I do. I'd like to think that at some point I can take something that's more fun. I really admired my dad because my dad was an engineering manager in an electronics company, and he, at 55, decided he wanted to go and work in Boston at one of the hospitals and do something for them. And so he started out as a technician at Children's Hospital in Boston for the guy who found the gene for muscular dystrophy, which is actually the disease my brother has. And he decided to go in and take that job, and he made a whole other career out of it. And it was great. You know, he's done that on his own. So I'd like to think I could do something like that as well and go off and do something different, you know, once I get older. But we'll see.
Do you have any specific goals you would like to achieve in your current career?
Specific goals. I want to be a vice president so I can get parking. Because that's the very next level. And they only let you park in the garage if you've been there for 25 years or you can get, or you are a VP. So I want to be VP so I can get parking. And I tell my bosses that all the time.
Now we will be talking about the topic of success. How would you describe yourself in just three words?
How would I describe myself in three words? Okay. Customer-oriented. That's not really one word, but customer-oriented, dependable, and fun. I think you have to have fun at work. So I try to have fun, too.
What is your proudest moment?
My proudest work moment. Last year I supported the chief risk officer for the company. And that was a huge deal. And we were able to, with his leadership, accomplish a whole bunch of things for the company. So I don't want to get into too much detail, but back when the financial crisis happened, you guys talked about that maybe a little bit. So the stock in the company went down to $3. So you can imagine how that, right, from your stock game, you can imagine how that worked. And so this this chief risk officer really helped turn things around in the company and focused on what we needed to do to, we also had to take money from the government, and then we paid it back really quickly, but we were one of the companies that had to take money from the government because we couldn't pay our bills. And so this chief risk officer, I worked with him a couple years after that happened. So it wasn't until I got in 2010, and this happened in like 2008. Mm-hmm. And so it was right when they hired him. But he really helped turn the company around, and I was his HR business partner. So I'd like to think I helped him with some of that, and I think I did a lot of really good things with that group.
What is some advice you would give to any person in any field trying to be successful?
Any person in any field, I would say, be creative, you know, think differently. Don't just say that things are the way they are and that they've always been that way. I find that the people who are most successful in my company are people who sort of, almost have a kid view. Like, don't lose your kid view of thinking about why things happen the way they happen, right? And that helps you be more innovative and creative. And helps you help whatever job you're in, you know, expand and grow and be bigger and better as if you think creatively.
What is your definition of success?
My definition of success is having a career that you really enjoy, that you can have fun with, that you like going to work every day. And that allows you to have the balance between what you need to get done at work and what you need to get done at home, and having a happy family life and time to spend on the weekends just relaxing and doing your favorite things.
What is the biggest factor you attribute to your success?
Frankly, some people will tell you that it's not enough anymore to just work hard, but I think it is. I think I work really hard. And I think that the managers that I work with see that I'm on their side and I'm trying to get things done for them. And I think that's part of it. You know, in HR in particular, some HR people can be really, you know, compliance focused and follow the rules and that. And what I try to do is not find ways around the rules, but I try to find creative ways to make the rules work for the business so that... you know, if we're stuck with something, we don't just get a no from the compliance office. We figure out a way to help them solve the business problem that they're trying to solve. And so I think that's one part of it.
Okay. Well, do we have any more questions from Ms. McGuire?
I have one. Now, when you are dealing with, you know, employees or people within your realm, who are like dysfunctional or just tough, like how does that fly? Like, do you have like a certain, like, you know, list of things that you have to go through before they get released, or is it just like, dude, you're done? Like, how does that work?
Sure, we do. We have a coaching model and feedback model that we use and we teach to the managers, so that if somebody's not either not performing or is behaving inappropriately. Some people are really good performers, but they leave a wake of bodies behind them. They just don't care who they plow over to be successful. And so that's a problem too. We don't want people like that. So what we basically do is coach them to what behavior we're looking for, make sure that that's clear and that they understand that, and work with them, even if it's on a weekly basis, to just talk about how the week went in relation to those behaviors that we've outlined for them. If that doesn't improve, then we tell the person that it goes to a verbal warning. And so we'll actually tell them you're on verbal warning, and that usually lasts for 30 days. And then we go to written warning if they don't improve from there. And so we really sit down and kind of track. And the idea is to help them improve, right? It's not just to get them out of there. It's to help people improve and make sure, A, that they understand what's expected, B, that they have the skills that they need to do what's expected, and if they don't, we try to help them with that. At that point, if they don't, and we see that they're just not going to get there, we usually try to, yeah, we out, but we try to f- find a better fit for them. So that's what I really like about the Hartford in particular, is that they're really good about, you know what, this is a good person who works hard, but maybe this job's not the right role for them. And so is there another role? And so I then go work with my other HR business partner folks to see if I can put somebody in another role that might be a better fit for them. And after the 30 days of verbal, they go to written. And then after the written is done, then we ask them to leave the company.
Pretty bad.
Doesn't happen all that often. But a lot of times, especially in the group that I'm working with now, there are some crazy things out there. We've had people that, when Hurricane Harvey happened in Houston, they came in with a mass card for their grandmother who passed away in the hurricane, and it wasn't really their grandmother. They just wanted a day off. So, and when I talked to the legal department about it, I was like, that's bad. Like, and they said, oh, that happens all the time. People are always saying that somebody passed away and it was their relative. And it turns out, and they brought in this almost looked like an ancestry DNA, you know, chart that showed, well,
they
he
try
can't
really hard.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And they make up all kinds of things. They said people bring in mass cards and newspaper clippings and stuff like that and really try to get that, you know, try to get it through that way.
It's like playing hooky in school, you know?
it doesn't happen all that often, but when it does, it stands out for sure. So don't do any of that stuff.
No. Any other questions?
All right. Well, thank you, Ms. McGuire, for coming to speak with us today. And thank you to our listeners for, listening to our wonderful podcast.
Thanks for having me again. Appreciate it. It was fun.